Hello and welcome to episode 147 of the Arena Regulars podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Jeff.
And we are source for drunken Magic the Gathering Arena content.
That's right. Just a couple of regular dudes drinking some irregular beers and talking about Magic the Gathering, in particular, the online client, MTG Arena.
That's right. And there was a huge event this last weekend. It was Pro Tour Karlov Manor. I think they specifically said Karlov Manor to keep murders out of titles of things, because as a bunch of content creators are finding out, putting the word murder in your title isn't really good for algorithms.
Bad idea.
Bad idea. I think they're kind of learning that Magic is like, oh, we didn't think about this part when we named this set murder. Anyway, first we have to talk about what we're drinking tonight. So each week we bring a beer, we rate it on scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. So with that, Jeff, what is the beer we're drinking tonight? What's on tap?
All right, this week we have a beer from my hometown. It's a brewery called Dominion City, which is big over there. And it's called Paper Salesman. It's a pale ale. I've actually never tried this one. It might be new.
Sweet.
Or I've tried it a whole bunch of times and don't remember. Those are the two possibilities.
I hope it's new. That's what I
hope. Either way, it's going to be new to me tonight.
Perfect.
Because you know what? If I don't remember it, then what's the difference?
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Jeff, let's get into it. And as we're pouring this, we have some Magic news. Like I said before, Pro Tour Karlov Manor was this last weekend. A bunch of shit happened, like so many things. Not just the tournament, which was fantastic. We're going to dive right into that and talk about all the decks, the winner, all the drama and everything. But there are also like a ton of previews for sets coming out.
So many previews.
So we don't talk about like Secret Layers or Universes Beyond that don't come to Arena. So currently we're in like Fallout. There's a bunch of previews for that that actually comes out soon. And then they gave us Outlaws of Thunder Junction. There are some cards that came out for that. They showed us things for Modern Horizons 3, which is coming out in the summer. They showed us things for Assassin's Creed, which is coming out in the summer. And they also showed us things for Bloomburrow. So they're just like two standard sets, two other sets. Let's go. Here's a bunch of stuff. And it was a lot on Friday. I was like, oh my God, I did not think that we were getting all this. It was.
Yeah. Magic previews are one of those crazy things where like, it happens all the time, and even with a cadence, like a predictable cadence, and it still surprises me every single time. I'm like, whoa, previews? Karlov Manor just dropped.
I know, but this one feels, I mean, we'll get more into it. I don't want to get dive because, you know, we don't want to talk about the cards. They're pretty cool, and there's some cool things happening with it, but I just want to take this quick moment to be like, did we need four sets? Four? There's another, when's the next Pro Tour? In the summer? Like, we don't need four. Like, give me two. You know?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's just amazing how it always sneaks up on you. It's like my fucking property taxes. Happens every quarter, same goddamn time. And every time I get the bill, I'm like, what the hell is this? I wasn't prepared for this.
You got to tell me these things.
Yeah, geez, why don't you warn me first before you charge me this much money?
Yeah. Anyway, well, we're gonna get into the Pro Tour, but I also want to just mention there's an arena open this weekend. It's MKM Limited. It's March 2nd and 3rd.
I'll be blowing all my gems on that.
Yeah, do it up. I've recently been doing a little bit better, so that's been nice. Hey. I took a little week off. I was out of town. That's also why we didn't have an episode last week. But yeah, so happy to be back. Happy to be playing some Magic. It's really nice. It's always good. You know what is kind of sad, though? They did announce that they will be discontinuing having cards be in Portuguese and Chinese simplified in certain sets coming out this summer, which their reasoning behind it is just that like those places where Chinese simplified and Portuguese are played predominantly, most people were just buying English cards anyway. So they were just like, let's just do that instead. But
so that's a reason.
Yes.
Real reason is they fired the translators. But they fired them because of that reason, I'm sure. So.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword. I'm sure that there are many, many players out there who do specifically only play in their native tongue and only got into Magic because it was in their native tongue. So this kind of idea of scaling back languages, like they already got rid of Russian and a couple other ones. They got rid of Chinese traditional before already. So like we're just not printing cards in Chinese anymore. Like that's just like something that already happened a while, like a few years back. So they've been scaling back quite a lot.
It's
And
surprising that those would be two of the first ones to go. Like Portuguese, I was like, okay, like
okay, because we have
it's definitely,
Spanish. So
yeah.
like a lot of those players, not that if you speak Portuguese, you also speak Spanish, but I'm just saying they're
You
very
could probably
similar.
read it.
Yeah, I think that that's very common. But it seems kind of weird to just get rid of all Chinese just altogether. But
And Russian, like
yeah, Russian
that's a lot
was,
of people that we just stopped printing
yeah,
cards for.
Russian was huge to me. But like when I was in a Russian-speaking country, I went to get some Magic cards, and they were saying like, oh yeah, you could buy the Russian ones, but they had a bunch of English ones, and they're like, most people buy the English ones.
Oh,
And I was
okay.
just like, that was just really strange to me. I just didn't think that was the case.
Is that you're like, because where I'm from, we're looking for Russian Ugins.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that kind of means that like if you have non-English cards, they might be worth more eventually because they just stopped printing the those languages. So who knows? But makes me kind of sad that we're like scaling back on languages but ramping up on products. So I liked the non-English ones, and so that makes me kind of sad because getting my favorite cards in a different language was something that I thought was a really way like cool way to bling out my commander decks or whatever, because I didn't like foils very much. So I just thought it was worth noting. It makes me sad.
Yeah, that is worth noting.
All right, let's talk about some Pro Tour stuff, Jeff.
Before that, I do have something semi-related. In
Okay.
keeping with the tournament theme,
Okay.
I have a tournament report.
Oh.
So I played in my first paper tournament on Saturday
This is a
in God knows how long.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
Yeah, so I've been kind of putting together my standard deck over the past little while. And I was checking the face-to-face, so all Canadian like competitive events are basically run by face-to-face now. And so you could just go to their website and you'd click like in Ontario, what are all of the qualifier events that are coming up? And when I first looked, none of them were in Hamilton. So I was just like, okay. There's one this weekend in Toronto, which isn't too bad. There's one in like Kitchener, which is not too bad. And when I was looking recently, and a new one was there that was in Hamilton. And it was actually like less than 10 minutes from my house. So then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll play in this one. I almost didn't because that day, like, I was really tired and I was hemming and
Sure.
hawing, like, do I even want to do this? And then the tournament was at noon and it was at like 11:45 where my wife was just like, just go. You're going to be upset if you don't go. So like, just grab your stuff and go.
That's
And
a
then,
great wife right there.
so I did, and I got there and I was unable to like fill out my deck list in time because I got there literally when it was
Starting.
starting. And I also had planned on buying two cards I needed for my sideboard. Brotherhood's End, which I did not purchase, so 13 card sideboard. So I got a game loss for showing up late, basically. Managed to turn that around and win the match. Lucky.
That's great.
Then I played okay. I didn't think I played that well, but I was 4-1. And so basically I got to draw my last round into the top eight.
Top eight.
I think there was like 30 something, 20 to 30 something people there. So it's not like a huge tournament, but it was bigger than everyone there. I was like, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be because
Yeah.
it's not that huge a store. And for the first time, I think ever, I had excellent breakers. So normally my tiebreaker is trash. And I'm always like, however many wins I have, I'm the bottom person with that number of wins. This time I was the top person with that number of wins, which is what allowed me to draw in my last match. And then when I go to the top eight, everyone except my first round opponent had made the top eight of all of my opponents. So I was like, this is why my breakers are like ridiculously good. It's because the top eight is like me and all of my opponents from the Swiss.
All the people you beat,
Yeah. Well,
basically.
and one guy who beat
Oh,
me.
okay.
And then, so I get to the top eight. It's pretty diverse. I'm playing my Rakdos deck, by the way, my Rakdos standard deck. There's a couple of mono reds, and I'm sitting there, mono red, mono red, mono red, because my deck has like 10 sideboard cards that gain life and is a pretty good game one matchup as well. And then there's a couple of domains, and I'm like, also, I don't mind if I get domain because I like know how to play against that. And then there's a weirdo like Abzan control that dominated the whole tournament. Like the guy was in the winning seat the entire time. And he's someone I recognized from playing competitive events in Toronto. So I was like, okay, not that guy. Because I was in like third and he was in first, that definitely wasn't gonna happen. And anyways, the way it all broke down, I basically played against the one person that I did not want to play against. It was a woman that I played against in round three or four, and she was on Esper, but she had the Esper, like kind of old school Esper that was all in on like four wedding announcements and like that kind of stuff, which I can beat wedding announcement if I get ahead of it, but if they're on the play with a turn three wedding announcement, it's just such an uphill battle. Like no Shieldreds, like the kind of smaller four wedding announcement, four Rafines, kind of like lots of Denix, like just cards I really don't want to see. Anyways, I matched her and we had a pretty tight match, but game three, she kind of just walked away with it because she was on the play and had the early wedding announcement into the like multiple what do you call it? Wandering Emperors, and just like the exact like all of the cards I hate seeing.
Oh, that's bummer.
And she played pretty well too. But the sad part is top four qualified for the face-to-face, like next, what do you
The
call it? The
regional
regional.
championships?
Yeah.
Oh,
So
jeez.
I won. I played like as long as possible without
And
actually qualifying.
that sucks.
So it's kind
Oh.
of like finishing in ninth. It was like
Yeah.
the finishing in ninth equivalent for this tournament. It
Yeah.
was like top
Oh,
four got the
man.
prize and I finished fifth,
Yeah.
basically.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry, man. I'm happy that you went to a paper tournament. Like, we talk about doing that often.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you went, and I'm glad it was close by, and you didn't have to like trek all the way up to Toronto and then have the same record. You know, that would be much worse. But
Yeah.
bummer.
Yeah, it was fun. And like just talking to people and stuff, and like everyone was pretty good. Like maybe it's because I tended to play against the people that were doing well just by chance, but nobody was sour or like,
Scummy or
yeah, it was just like a positive experience. So it never felt awkward talking about the match after and stuff
yeah.
like that. So.
Well, that's great. That also kind of leads into some of the Twitter drama that's been going on
Ho ho
in the Pro
ho.
Tour. So, I don't really want to say names really, but people are just ripping them. You know, if you want to find it out, just go on
Yeah,
Twitter.
it's out there.
People are posting their name everywhere and ripping into
Okay.
them.
Okay. I haven't heard about this, but
I think it is probably justified, but basically after the Pro Tour, this person posted on Twitter complaining that their last opponent, it was like they were like X and eight or something, and complained that their last opponent didn't want to just concede so that they could. Because this person who was complaining needed like one more win to get enough points to then get on the Pro Tour again. And they were saying this
Okay.
other person was already qualified for the Pro Tour. And I was like, no, we should play it out for the, like, I also need points for the future. Let's just play our game. And this one player was very frustrated by that and really mad and said that they lost to Variance in the game and basically went on Twitter, not naming their opponent, but saying that it's ridiculous that someone who was qualified for this thing wouldn't just like give up the match so that I could also be in the tournament.
No, they don't have to do that. Why would they
No.
have to do that?
Yeah. And so they were basically like just freaking out and getting so pissed off and saying like this is all fucked up and essentially like I'm selling my Magic collection. I'm not getting back into this thing. Kind of
Right.
just talking about how they should have been just given the win. And everyone online is being like, well, no, also you could have won any of your other eight losses to get
Yeah.
that. Like, why are you?
You want to earn your way to the Pro Tour,
Yeah,
like win some Magic.
exactly. And then everybody else is coming out saying, like, all their opponents were saying, they tried to convince me to do that earlier in the tournament. And it's like, so this person's just trying to like convince people to like concede to them so that they can stay on the Pro Tour and all this stuff. And then that ended up going like so everybody's dogpiling on this person. And then there's a video that comes out showing them cheating in like a webcam game for something. And it's just like where
Jeez.
they were like trying they were drawing cards off of Ponder through a Narset by trying to distract their opponent by asking what was in their graveyard while they were casting Ponder so
Oh my
that it would
God.
make your their opponent like be looking at other cards while they were doing their Ponder. And it's just like wow. So
That's
like
rough. That's not a good
Dragon.
look.
Yeah. Especially because I will say I'm not gonna talk about like give any more publicity to the person that was awful, but their last opponent who refused to concede and said, no, we should play it out. It's a game of Magic, we should play it, was Jim Davis. And so Jim Davis being like, no, we should play. I think we should play
Yeah.
this game. And everybody loves Jim Davis.
Didn't Jim
So
do really well though? Or like reasonably well? Why would he be?
I think he did reasonably well. I don't know exactly what I think it was like round 16, his round 16 opponent ended up being Jim Davis. But for whatever
Yeah, come
reason.
on, man. Like
So
Jim's a
they,
nice guy,
yeah.
like
Yeah. So there has been a lot of talk of etiquette in tournaments or just also just being just a fucking person. I don't know. Treating
yeah.
people like not trying to cheat people out of stuff and being a good player and I don't
That
know.
was always the awkward part of like the competitive events is people would like people will ask you for that. They'll ask
Yeah.
you know, they'll even be like, hey, your breakers are bad or mine are good. Like if you win, you probably won't make top eight, but if I win, I will. Do you want to concede to me? And I've had to be like, no.
No.
Like I do not want to. And then like luckily for me, afterwards, I've been talking to people who are like, oh, no, if you didn't want, like, it's totally up to you. I got to throw it out there, you know,
Yeah, I
just in
gotta try.
case.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
it was that kind of attitude. But it's definitely not always that kind of attitude. And, you know, when I was playing in this past event, even drawing in the last round, like, my opponent had to think about it because we would both make top eight for sure. But if we drew and things went a certain way, he would have to play against me in the top eight, and I would be on the play because I had better breakers than him.
Right.
And he also knew that I wasn't qualified for the event, and he was hoping to match someone who was already qualified for the event in the top
Oh,
eight
sure.
and then like organize a, you know, like
The
a
same type of thing.
you'll get the prizes if I get the qualification
Yeah, kind of
kind of
thing.
thing.
Yeah.
Which he did not get, by the way. He had to play and he lost. So we both ended up losing out on that qualification.
Yeah. So
But
I.
he was from the States and he was saying in the States you can't even play in these if you're already qualified. But in Canada
Oh.
you can.
I probably just because they're small enough and we need enough players, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think it's like face-to-face decision, whereas whoever
Yeah.
runs it in the States is like, no, if you're already qualified, you can't even sign up for this tournament.
Yeah. And which I don't love, you know, even though you're qualified for it and the, you know, you can't win another one. They just bump it down to give it to the next person, right? Because
Yeah.
there's each tournament has a certain number of invites. So it's like
Yes.
if the top two players already have invites, that means the top six players or whatever, the next two. I did want to just mention that, yeah, it is very common for players to talk about that in tournaments and like kind of make their own deals and things, but I don't think it's ever expected. I don't know if if you're playing on it for a long time that it feels like you deserve it or something, or like that's because everyone talks about it all the time, but
It's ridiculous. Like,
it just sounded ridiculous
if
to
you
me.
ever go to a tournament, for those listening at home, you decide to go to one of these you haven't been before, just don't let people pressure you into that. Like, you paid money to be there just like them. You're enjoying your hobby just like them.
You know how to
And
play, they know how to play. Like, it's not.
it's up to you if you want to play the match or not. And like, it's also okay to be like, hey, yeah, it, this is, a win is going to be awesome for you. And like, it's not a big deal to me. I'll concede. You could do that too, but just don't let people pressure you into doing that or make you feel like you're doing something wrong if you want to play a game of Magic because that's what you're there for.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's at any level as well. Like, even like pre-releases and stuff, if you're playing for the packs or whatever, or don't let your opponent try to push you into splitting or not splitting, depending on what you're doing.
For sure.
Just yeah. But Jeff, let's get to the Pro Tour. There is a like one specific breakout deck. If you've been living under a rock, then, or I guess you should know about it unless you've been living under a rock, because it's the new hotness, the new sweet stuff. We'll see how long it actually lasts. I don't think it's going to be very long,
A new
but
flash in the pan.
yeah, flash in the pan. But it worked out.
Sure did. It sure did. Yeah, so the breakout deck that Zach's referring to is, if you haven't heard this before, get ready because you won't guess it. It's Rakdos Vampires. So we should take that back a step. The event was Pioneer. So we're talking Pioneer if you're on Arena. Explorer is close. A lot of the decks that we saw were could have been built in Explorer.
Yeah, this one as well could be built in
Yep, this
Explorer.
one you can build this and play it on the ladder, which I expect a lot of people will be doing. So if you're playing Explorer, plan on playing the Explorer queue, get ready for this. But essentially, my understanding is that Paul Rietzel, an old school Magic pro, decided to jump back in, play this Pro Tour. So I guess if you're in the Hall of Fame, you get like one free Pro Tour a year. You don't have to try to qualify for it, so he decided to do that for this one. He was practicing with Team Channel Fireball, and he came up with this mono black vampires deck, and was basically like, "Hey guys, this Sorin into like Vane Ripper on turn three is kind of a real thing. Like, I think we should actually consider playing vampires." And then the team kind of took that deck and was like, "Well, why is it mono black when we could just add red and like have Fable of the Mirrorbreaker in our deck?" And that's what they decided to actually play at the Pro Tour.
Yeah, it seemed like such a meme. And when the deck list came out, everyone was like, "Whoa, what?" And like when we're talking about players, this is like the players playing this deck, Team Channel Fireball. Oh my gosh, is made up of like heavy hitters. You know, you have like LSV, you have Reid Duke, Sam Pardee. You have Gabriel Nassif was also part of the team, decided not to play this deck. And then Seth Manfield was also on this deck. I'm sure there's a few more that I'm missing, but those are the big ones that were being talked about a lot
Jim
over the weekend.
Davis.
Jim Davis, thank you. So yeah, it was just this is the new hotness. But when it was like revealed, people were kind of like they're excited by it, but they're also kind of slamming it like, really? This is not good. Well, apparently it
I
is.
still think that, by
Yeah.
the way,
I
but
mean, like, it could also be the thing of like these players are just very good. And it's also a good time to remind you, like, hey, there are great decks that were in the top eight. They're great decks in the tournament. Sometimes the how well a deck does is more showing how good the player is, not always how good the deck is. So keep that in mind when you're looking at some of the deck lists. I have to do that to myself. I'm saying that to you, but I'm saying it to myself because there's this very specific deck in the top eight that are like, oh, I could play this deck. And Jeff reminded me that, in fact, I probably should maybe not play that deck.
That's not what I
That's
said.
almost exactly what you said.
But the other thing to remember is the Pro Tours get these weird metagames where, like, because there's a bunch of teams that are going to be on the same thing, like, it's not re even though it's actually a relatively big tournament, a couple hundred people,
Yeah, 250 or something.
it doesn't end up feeling like you're playing Arena Ladder or something. Like, once you win a few matches, there's like three decks that you're going to be playing against. And so part of the reason this deck was so successful was, yeah, you mentioned best players in the room are all playing it, so the win rate's a little inflated by that, because whatever deck they played would have a good win rate. But also, like, I think they brought this just because, like, Vayne Ripper is incredibly difficult for Phoenix to deal with. There are lots of decks where, like, for example, Lotus Field, which knocked out most of the Channel Fireball players, just couldn't quite get past Seth. They just don't care about Vayne Ripper. So, like, even a turn three Vayne Ripper, which is the best thing your deck can do, isn't good enough. Whereas against something like Phoenix, Vayne Ripper is just nearly impossible for them to kill, because they have to have Lightning Axe, card to discard, and a creature to sacrifice. And then even then, you're up some life on the exchange, like four life and four damage, and like,
Yeah. Also, like once that's also without Vayne Ripper like getting a counter on it. Because
yeah.
basically what happens is I guess yeah, so to break it down even more for people who aren't even familiar with some of these cards, they're playing Sorin Imperious Bloodlord, which is the 3 mana mono black Sorin from M20. When it comes down, it's -3, puts a vampire from your hand onto the battlefield, and then it has a +1 that targets creature you control gets a +1/+1 counter and death touch and lifelink. So on the next turn, if Phoenix isn't able to deal with it on the first turn, the next turn it could have it usually has a counter. And then Lightning Axe isn't enough. And so then it becomes very difficult to deal with.
Yeah, they basically can't. Like, some of them play one Brazen Borrower, that kind of thing. But, that doesn't really. You have to bounce it and then also deal with the Sorin and then hope it's not late enough into the game that they
That they
just
just
cast
slip
Vayne
it
Ripper.
again.
Especially since they probably have treasure tokens and stuff. So, yeah, I think it is an interesting deck. It's like you sacrifice some of your mid-range ability, like your card quality, for
The
the
combo.
occasionally I'm just going to win on turn three. And that is only a good trade-off if that, like, high-end combo is actually a win. So if decks start to adapt to it and Phoenix starts packing ways to actually kill it, or maybe like the black version of Phoenix becomes a bit more popular for a little while, where their removal spell just doesn't care about your toughness. Or, a lot of more Lotus Field shows up, because this I don't think this deck really wants to play against Lotus Field. So that's what I think is going to happen with this deck. But in the end, I think, you'll see more Rakdos mid-range than this when everything evens out,
Evens
because
out.
what Rakdos mid-range does well is like be like a slight underdog against everything. Whereas this is going to be like a massive favorite against some things and a huge
And
underdog
huge.
against other things.
That makes sense. But yeah, at least in Explorer, we don't have Lotus Field at all. So that's not
I
a.
mean, the card exists, but yeah, the deck.
The deck doesn't exist
The
because you don't
Lotus
have.
Field decks in Explorer are like the Strict Proctor, like those kind of like blue white or Jeskai builds.
Yeah, but it's not the same like tappy untappy stuff,
Oh
right?
no, yeah, it's not like a combo kill.
You don't have hidden strings to go. You don't have hidden strings, and you don't have Dark Petition, which are like big cards in that deck.
That's why I love Explorer. It's like Pioneer, but without the stupid decks.
Yeah, that's true. Lotus Field is stupid. I don't like
Yeah, I don't like
it.
it either. Basically, I don't like Lotus Field because all the decks I want to play and like to play are not good against Lotus Field, and that will never stop being true. Like, for the rest of time, the deck that I want to play will have a weak Lotus Field matchup, for sure, unless like something drastic happens where I change my play style entirely,
Well,
but
I don't know. At least you're playing black, so you have Thoughtseize. That's good. I'm like trying to
Thoughtseize
play.
is good, yeah.
Yes.
But the problem is sometimes you Thoughtseize them and they just have Lotus
Lands.
Field and the land to copy it, and you're like, all right, so you're
Well,
just gonna draw something
that was
and
literally one of the matches that was happening. It wasn't in the top eight, but it was somebody playing against, can't remember if it was this deck specifically, but it was Lotus Field, and they started the game. They kept a six land hand, knowing like
yep.
I'm gonna get
Against
Thoughtseized
Thoughtseize?
early.
For sure,
This
yeah.
is gonna be like the best thing. They take like the one kind of mediocre card in my hand, and everything else is lands. So what are you gonna do? I thought that was a really interesting heads up play. I wish I remember who actually made it, but they ultimately lost the match, but I thought that that interaction was really interesting. So nothing I would have ever done, being like, I'll keep these six lands because I know my opponent's gonna Thoughtseize me, so.
Well, especially if some of them cycle. That's like the classic anti-Thoughtseize thing, is you hold the cycling lands, they Thoughtseize you, and then you're like, cool, nothing,
Cool.
cycle my land on end step.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it.
I just paid mana and lost two life and discarded a card.
Yeah, so Thoughtseize is only like so good again. It's not amazing against Lotus Field, honestly. It's just like the best you got.
Yes.
What's amazing against Lotus Field is a fast clock. Like maybe something along the lines of what the runner up played.
So this is the deck that I was talking about. That I was like, ooh, this made it to the top eight and even to the finals? Oh, well, I could play this deck, which is
Must just be a
Boros.
great deck.
Yeah, Boros Heroic. It's paying like all my favorite cards. You have Illuminator Virtuoso, Monastery Swift Spear. Actually, when I say all my favorite, none of the creatures. Like I like Illuminator Virtuoso and Monastery Swift Spear, but favorite Hoplite and 10th District Legionnaire are not always my favorite. But basically, they're all cards that care about you casting
Favorite
spells.
Hoplite is like the card of this deck.
I know. I had played with it a little bit, but it's anything that's close. I really love Picnic Ruiner, if you know, in Standard. I love that deck. And so this has some bits to it. But obviously you're targeting all your creatures with a bunch of different spells. My favorite one obviously is Monstrous Rage because it gives it trample and plus three power. But any deck I can play like God's Willing in, I'm going to be really excited. So Simon Nielsen was playing this deck, and spoiler alert, he lost the finals. But this is specifically the one that
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned that actually. Rakdos Vampires
One.
won
Oh
the
yes.
event. Yes, in the
Yes.
hands of Seth Manfield.
Yeah.
You may have heard his name before. It's because he's won a lot of events.
That's right. So I think this is his second Pro Tour win, and he's also won Worlds. So huge thing. And Simon Nielsen being he has been on the top of like the past four Pro Tours or something crazy
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
top eighted four in a row, and he keeps
That's
like inching closer to
to
a
winning.
victory.
Yeah, he was also player of the year last year. Like this guy is on a heater. Holy shit. He is rocking
He
it.
must be like just shuffling really well.
Yeah. Sure. And then yeah, cross your fingers he's not cheating, but like he's
Can
like
you imagine him cheat? That would be like
no.
the greatest disguise of all time for like a jackass cheater, just
Yeah.
has this like perfect acting of
Okay, well, because if you don't know Simon Nielsen very well, he is really nice and hilarious. And like, there was one Pro Tour a while ago. I think he was against who's he playing against? Shit, I can't remember. But he was playing Green Devotion, and he forgot to put one of his cards back in his sideboard after they played, and so he couldn't go get it with Karn. Remember that? And so he like lost the match because he fucked up. And so then he wrote on his like little life pad being like, I forgot to de-sideboard and put it on so the camera could see. And then he's just like,
Yeah, I do
whoops.
remember that.
That was pretty hilarious. I remember that just being so funny that he was like, I can't go get, they're like, oh, he could win right here. And he's like, I can't. It's I forgot to put it in my sideboard. I just left it in my deck.
Yeah, awkward.
Awkward. It's so funny.
Did you see his semifinal match in
I
this
did.
tournament?
I okay. So I didn't see it, but I saw the match right before it, where Christoph was talking about what could happen, and it in fact did happen.
Oh yeah.
So please, Jeff, tell us what happened.
Well, yeah, and Christopher and
Christopher,
Simon.
sorry, yeah, Larson, right.
Yeah, and they're both friends because I think they're both like Danish and they played like tests together and stuff. And so they're just like chatting either in English or in Danish, like it keeps changing, but they're just laughing the whole time. But basically that happened to Christopher because he had Amalia and Wild Growth Walker, which is the infinite combo, or well, it's not infinite, blows up your opponent's board, leaves you with a massive creature. And but he had no way to start it because neither of those creatures gain life or explore. You needed what something to
Yeah, the Prosperous
start the
Innkeeper.
process. And he had Court of Calling. And he was going to die next turn, so he needed to do it now. And he could only cord for one. Now, there is a card that gets the job done in his 75 called Cenote Scout. Cenote Scout will
Right.
explore
Explorer.
for one. And so he casts it for one, and then he just looks through his whole deck. No Cenote Scout. Because he plays two, he sided out one, and one had died earlier in the game. So there was no Cenote Scout in his deck.
That's so
And so he's
funny.
just like kind of showing, he's like, ah, I sided it out.
Oh,
But
that's
like made
so.
him sweat because he's like looking through his deck like
He's
he's
like,
gonna go get the Cenote Scout. And Simon's like, well, it's like, Jeff, you got
that's the
me.
like, do it like, how long can I
Are
search?
you
Like,
gonna
are you
concede?
concede? Because it's
Is it
you.
obvious now because I've been searching so
Yeah.
long? And then he
Yeah.
sided it back in
Yeah.
the next game.
That's pretty smart. No, because the other thing that happened in this match was that Christopher is on Amalia combo and Simon is on Boros Heroic. And the thing about the combo is that Amalia keeps going up and up and up, and like until she hits 20 power, then she blows up the board, and then the combo stops because the Wild Growth Walker is off the battlefield, so you aren't gaining life when you explore anymore.
Yeah, Amalia's not optional.
Yes, you have to do it. But what can happen is that if you give the Wild Growth Walker indestructible as the opponent, then Amalia will continue to grow and grow and grow forever. And you can't, if you can't stop it by yourself, if you can't kill your Wild Growth Walker or something, then there will just be a draw. Which
Because
is
it's just
what.
infinite explore triggers, and explore is something you have to actually like do.
Do. And so, because like, you can't, if it's infinite explore triggers, like you'll either draw the land or you can flip over the top card, but you obviously
You can
can't,
never like
you
go
could
to the
deck
next
yourself.
phase.
Yeah, you could like, you do have the option to deck yourself and concede essentially, but like you can't stop it. And so that happened in
Yeah,
the top eight
it happened
where,
more than once.
yeah, it was just a way for, you know, if the Amalia player is going off as the Boros Heroic player, just like, yeah, your creature gets indestructible, and now we have
Yeah.
to start a new game, which I love. I think that's the best.
It happened
And
twice. That happened twice.
yeah, so it was like a best of seven game, like match instead of best of five, right?
Yeah, it was first to three wins out of seven games. Yeah, the chat was like, guys, it's not best of five, it's first to three.
Yeah.
Remember that. Yeah, so that was actually part of Christopher's sideboard plan that he came up with his team was to side in Fatal Push. And like he would have sided that in anyways against Heroic, but to not like try not to use them unless you have to, because it's better to kill your own Wild Growth Walker with it.
In that
Because
situation.
that, like, when you've turned the tide, that's how Simon can, like, for pretty easily force a draw. Because He could give your Wild Growth Walker indestructible, or he can pump your Amalia so that it skips
It
20.
skips 20.
Yeah. And so since all of his cards do one of those two things, basically, like it's pretty easy for him to force a draw if he starts to feel like he's going to lose the game. And that was ultimately the, kind of the secret to Simon winning the match, because the two games he drew, he kind of lost them. So it was like, that's what that like very weird interaction is what actually gave his deck the advantage.
It also shows like a huge weakness in the Amalia combo that like
I mean, I think that deck is so bad, but like people keep doing well with it, so I don't know. Maybe
maybe
like
they're
I'm
just
just not
better.
playing against good players,
That
or
could be it,
I'm not a
or
good player. That's for sure true when I play that deck, but like
but yeah, I just think that that's it's so funny, and it's definitely feels like the Pro Tour where that was like a big deal. Like I know the regional championships they had been talking about that interaction, but like the fact that we had to end this Pro Tour, I just loved it, especially in the top eight and all
that was
that, you
very
know.
cool, yeah.
It's very cool. Yeah. What a cool. You okay, so this is not so much about the actual top eight. Well, actually, before I move on, I did also want to mention that Jean-Emmanuel Duprat also made the top eight. That's a world
Sure
champion.
did.
So what the fuck is going on with these guys? What's happening? It's just the same players over and over again.
Yeah,
Like,
it's like the third, that's three in a row where the world champion has top aided the subsequent Pro Tour. Because Yuta did it, Nathan did it,
Nathan
and
did it,
now
and now
Jean-Emmanuel did it.
Jean-Emmanuel. But like the fact that they had one player, Simon Nielsen, who was winning, had four top finishes, and a world champion in the top eight right after. It hasn't ever happened, which is this is this historic stuff, which is really, really cool.
And the longest match in terms of number of games in
That's
top eight
true.
history,
Yeah.
probably.
Probably. I'm assuming.
Draws are like super uncommon, so to have two of them in
In the top eight
the
as like a
same,
strategy, it's hilarious. I did want to mention, so in the actual so this was not only Pro Tour Karlov, but it was MagicCon Chicago. Now, I think that makes it feel a little bit more like a GP-ish. I don't know, having the extra stuff. Because they are making it much more of a big convention for the Pro Tour. And I have, obviously, I wasn't there, but there have been very polarizing views on whether this was good or this was a bad event. And it seems like all the people that were going to meet content creators and get things signed and buy cards and hang out with friends had a really great time. And everyone who went to play Magic had a fairly bad time, which is very strange. I don't know specifically
Like, you mean not in the main event, like play inside events?
play inside events, but also people in the main event were really frustrated because they were the way that the convention hall was set up is that the main event. Oh, no, sorry. I don't think it was actually the Pro Tour. It might have been like a 75K, but it was a big competitive event, was situated immediately next to like the game nights live. It's like the command zone has like a they play Commander and they videotape it, and it's a cool event. It's like really awesome, and it's something that like people should be really excited about. But the audience from that was so loud, and the whole spectacle of it was so distracting that all the players doing this competitive event were having a really difficult time being
That would be annoying. Yeah.
like every time you're trying to make plays or something, everyone's screaming about something, and you're just like, I'm just trying to focus. And a few different people wrote some kind of notes on Twitter or kind of letters to WotC being like, this needs to change because either they're neurodivergent and they have a hard time with getting overstimulated or different things like that. And I myself would note that that would be really distracting as well. And it feels like if it makes it feel like the convention is kind of made for certain demographics of people and not others. So trying to specifically put them on different floors or in different spaces, is if it's possible, would be great. But yeah, I just was so surprised that it seemed to be an outpour of either people loving or hating the event, which is
Interesting. Yeah, I mean,
not.
I'm sure like the event space just wasn't really well suited to all the things they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it'll take some iteration
For sure.
probably to get it
But
right,
like,
but
yeah, they're just, everyone's kind of hoping, like, I guess, I'm not a huge convention goer, so I don't know exactly how to say this, but it does make me kind of sad. I would hope that, obviously, I want everything to be positive because that always just feels great. Or little nitty-gritty things, but anyway, I want the like the not even specifically commander, but like casual fun folks or quote unquote fun folks that they call themselves, and the competitive players to be more in harmony with each other. And every time they're out of sync, it makes me really sad. And I would like them to be closer together. I'd like people who play commander to like pause to check and see what the top eight is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that would that's what I would like. I'd like everyone to be
That's the
kind of,
dream.
yeah, it's the dream. It's like I'm not playing in the event, but I am interested in seeing what's going on. So anyway, I don't know if that will ever happen. Possibly not. Anyway, Jeff, do you have anything else to say about this tournament before we move on to some interesting cards?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, so the coverage team was very adamant all weekend. There was a sub story, if you will,
Okay.
about Rakdos mid-range being garbage, and I am here to object to that. So sure. When I look at the first whole page of results on Melee, it doesn't appear. Okay, you gotta scroll a little deeper in to find anyone who is playing Rakdos mid-range. I get it. But here's the thing. I don't understand what the deck lists are that everyone brought to this event for Rakdos mid-range, because it looks like it's from a year ago. It's like the old school versions that are just four bank busters and like just a ton of graveyard trespassers, which I think you should have some, but not all.
Not all.
And like no bone crushers. I don't know. Like this, I thought there was an innovation in this space where we were playing like the Inti Copter thing. Is that just so bad that nobody's even playing it? But everyone just looks like they're on like a really, really old school list that was from before like
Yeah,
Phoenix was as good as it is and was from before like the Amalia combo even existed. And I'm just like, well, no wonder you're getting trounced by Phoenix and Amalia combo. You're playing a deck that was built before those decks
were
existed.
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like they were 41.7%, their win rate was quite low. And they had
But
some like,
it's been particular, it's Phoenix and Amalia.
yeah. As far as like the decks that they're really, really bad against. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And then they have a nice win rate against Lotus Field, actually. So I guess that's what you're saying, the whole Thoughtseize thing. Good
Yeah.
enough there.
Good enough.
But yeah, it's just like I was really shocked to hear that it did so bad because I've just, been having a lot of success with the deck. And I don't think that you're favored against Phoenix, but I think it's really close. And when I just look at when I went to go look at what kind of deck lists weren't doing well, I was like, well, yeah, I would expect this deck list not to do well, but I couldn't even find somebody who was on it. Now it's part of like it's just hard to search through these things.
It's true.
Like maybe people are playing the decks that I'm thinking of, the like new version of Rakdos, and they just did kind of mid pack because I searched either end, the top of the standings and the
Yeah.
end of the standings, and everyone's just on the like I don't know why Bankbuster made this huge comeback. Like I thought most people had cut that.
For Copter, right? That was
This
like the big
Bankbuster's
thing.
so bad against Phoenix. It's so bad. Like all of their stuff flies. You can't doesn't
They just
block.
block. I love how much you hate regular Big
It's
Buster.
just so bad. So you know what? Don't give me the this whole story about Rakdos mid-range being crap. It's Reckon or Bankbuster that's crap.
Okay.
Lesson learned. Stop
Yeah, and
playing
that's
it.
not even a Rakdos card.
Yeah, Smuggler's Copter is just like way, way better.
Yeah, if you could play Looter Scooter, I don't know why you'd play anything else. Says the guy who doesn't play that deck at all and has no idea.
Yeah. And I have never played with Smuggler's Copter in my
Yeah, in that deck.
version. I haven't crafted
Oh God.
But I'm
Anyway.
confident going forward, Rakdos mid-range will still be a thing. Don't
Okay.
toss out your deck lists, folks.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even check to see if anyone was on auras at all, which is what I would have played. Let's go to the last page. If I could find somebody. No, that did not do what I wanted it to do. Yeah,
Also,
probably not.
they're not playing like all of the Rakdos mid-range decks I looked at are not playing Leyline of the Void. And then you look
Oh,
at
in
the
the
Rakdos
sideboard.
Vampires deck. Oh, they had
And
such
they
a good
are.
Phoenix matchup. Leyline of the Void. Come on. And like Seth, when you watch Seth play, he was actively mulliganing to Leyline of the Void.
Which, if you also know Seth, I think Todd Anderson tweeted something being like, "Oh shit, Seth is mulliganing very aggressively." Oh no, it's Brad Nelson. He was like, "Seth is mulliganing very aggressively. That means you know he's gonna win."
Yeah, there's like a whole thing of there's like a mull is something even Seth wouldn't keep, but then there's like that in between of Seth keeps where it's like most people would mulligan this, but Seth
But
Manfield would
Seth
not.
would keep
And then
it.
there's snap keeps, Seth keeps, and snap mulls.
That's so funny. I just love that. Also reminds me of Benton Madsen last year for the same Pro
Oh,
Tour.
yeah, just going
Just
aggressive
mulliganing.
mulligan.
Yeah, I just need this one card. If I don't have this card on turn one, it's not going to go well.
I guess that means Channel Fireball has won the last two Pioneer Pro
Yeah.
Tours with a deck that was not like a
It was
common choice. It was their deck.
their deck that they put together. So
That's pretty cool.
pretty cool. Go at Reed and LSV put out a sideboard guide and a deck list over on Channel Fireball for free. So go check that out. We are not sponsored by them, so that's just a real thing that you should just go do.
Yeah. If you want to play this deck, man, having the best players in the world tell you how you should be sideboarding is a huge advantage.
It is, because sideboarding is really, really hard.
It's so hard, man.
It's so hard.
So hard.
I will definitely be looking at that after we're done with this tonight. But Jeff, we got lots of new things to talk about. I do want to get into it. We have been talking a lot about the tournament, which I'm really happy with. I want to lightly touch on a couple of the next things that are coming up. But Outlaws of Thunder Junction, we got some cards and we got a couple new words for Magic or things. I guess they're kind of mechanics, but well, we can get into it. But I think one of the best cards to talk about, like, yes, we have some legendary creatures and stuff, but we have the new World Championship card. We get to see it.
Ooh,
That's pretty
yes.
exciting. So Nathan Stoyer gets to he previewed his card that he won, obviously not last year, but the year before, 2022. And they always come out in this set, the like April set. And so
Which is
we knew.
interesting because we already have a new world champion crowned by that point, but
Yeah.
I guess it's hard for them to move much faster. Like this is already pretty quick to
Yes. It's
get a
pretty
card
quick.
printed like a year and a bit after.
They basically do it as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah.
But we do have a card that like almost seems eerily similar to the last card that we had from a world champion, which kind of threw me for a loop. I was surprised that they would do this. We even have Yuta Takahashi posting on Twitter being like, "Fairy Mastermind dies to this."
Nathan's like, yeah, I want it to be like Yuta's card, but beat it
Beat it. I want
in
it to beat it.
combat.
Where like Yuta specifically wanted to make his card Fairy Mastermind like be able to block and eat like a Thalia or a Ragavan, and they said no, but they're like, you know what?
But Nathan, yeah.
Nathan? Yeah. I mean,
For
okay.
you, we'll do it.
So it doesn't do it exactly, but I'll read the card. So it's called Duelist of the Mind. It's one and a blue for a star 3 creature human advisor at rare. It has flying and vigilance. And it says when Duelist of the Mind, oh sorry, Duelist of the Mind's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. And whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card, and this only triggers once a turn. Now, first off, okay, so this is like a 1/3 on your turn with flying and vigilance. It doesn't
Right.
have flash, which is the big thing that Yuta wanted for his card, and they didn't want to make it so that you could flash out a Yuta and eat Athalia. So,
I mean, that would be,
yeah.
yeah. Do you remember
So,
that Paolo wanted Flash on his card and they just laughed at him because they're like, are
yeah.
you kidding me? And after playing with it, they were so right. Like,
They're
if that
so
card
right.
had Flash, that
What
would be.
has so like during right after the like in the middle of their draw step, I want to flash this in, look at their
Yeah.
hand. I'm sure that every pro player is like, well, give it flash so I can do it whenever I want. Because they basically all make creatures now, right? They're not really doing. Have they always been
I think
creatures?
it's always creatures.
Okay. For some reason I was thinking that, oh, it's because the invitational cards used to be able to make up whatever you wanted. And then they would take it and then like turn it into something. And so people
Right.
would post enchantments or spells and stuff. And they'd be like, how about we just kind of make a creature do this?
Yeah, it would be a creature, but it'd do the same thing.
Anyway, so Duelist of the Mind is a 1/3 with flying and vigilance, essentially. But it does help you draw cards when you commit a crime. Jeff, what the fuck is that? What is this new Outlaws of Thunder Junction crime business?
Committing a crime is pointing a gun at something. So if you target your opponent or target any of their permanents,
Yeah.
you've committed a crime.
Yes. Oh, not only so, yeah, target your opponent, their permanents, or I think it's stuff. It includes graveyards and things.
Okay.
It's like literally
Like
anything.
target their deck or a card in their graveyard
Yeah.
or whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah, any
If
of
you
their
target
things
something,
in any zone that they. So that includes like spells. So if you counter their spell, you targeted a spell, you committed a crime. Which is a big deal because this is a blue card, of course.
yes.
But yeah, I mean, definitely seems cool. I'm not nearly as excited for this one as with Yuta's. I think I was like so stoked.
Yeah, I know.
And
Paolo's, I played a
Paolo's.
fair amount of Yuta's. I haven't played as much as I thought I would, but I'm
I
just
definitely.
very excited by it. This one, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'll play this.
This has words on it
I bet I'll play against this, but I don't know
yes.
if I'll play it.
Yeah, exactly. I could definitely see myself playing against it. Anytime there's a card that starts with blah blah blah's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn, I just stop reading. This
Yeah.
is
There,
like
there's a few things that have done this type of thing now too,
there's
like
literally one we just got, right?
profs, whatever, whatever.
Prof's memory
Yeah.
edit something memory, which actually okay. So I do want to say something about that card because that at the beginning of combat, for every extra card you've drawn for the turn, you put counters on something. The first time I read it, I thought it was just buffing it for the turn. I was like, that's a weird ability. No, that's
Yeah.
terrible. I don't want it.
That would suck,
Yeah.
but counters is quite good.
It's quite good. It is actually quite good. And so that makes it more interesting in combination with this card could be something. But yeah, overall, Nathan, I don't want to.
Interesting. I want to know,
Yeah.
like, I'd love to just see the three cards they pitched to him or whatever, because that's usually what they do. I have a hard time imagining that I would have picked this one. Like, no matter what the three they pitched were.
No. No, it does not seem like something I would be super excited about. But I do think the art looks sweet. And yeah, it's always
It's,
nice to have a new world championship card. But.
yeah, it's cool. It's something like pro players would always appreciate. Like, committing a crime is a very, it's, I think it's going to be a pretty skill testing thing because it's just like, do anything. And so you can come up with really creative ways to
Pump its power.
trigger this.
Yeah. Or even just like ways of like your divination or your random spell helps this like rummage or loot through your deck. Plus pumping it randomly at times you didn't think you would want to. I don't know if the new divination that's better than divination. Do you want to just randomly play that in this as a pump spell? It's kind of interesting. So
It's worth noting, like, this doesn't have power on your opponent's turn unless you do something. So that's why you were saying it doesn't just block Thalia or whatever, because.
Yeah, it blocks, but it doesn't kill it, unless you target something, or
Yeah, so it doesn't eat the fairy mastermind.
Yes, it just,
Unless they activate the Fairy Mastermind's ability. You know,
or
attack, block, activate Fairy Mastermind, die. That would
yeah,
be a
exactly.
weird play, but
Yeah, they probably wouldn't do that. But yeah, there's some interesting cases. Just happy to see it and cool to have a new thing in Magic. It does feel very flavorful. It seems like such a basic thing to be so flavorful with this world that I'm a little surprised by it.
they've gotten good at that. Like, the mechanics are very simple, but still evocative.
I guess
This one's even like a little complicated when you think through
it's pretty
all the
complicated.
things that it actually does encompass.
What it doesn't encompass is that Krenko's Buzz Crusher does not commit a crime.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's pretty interesting, and it reminds me of Revolt in a, in an interesting way, where like Aether Revolt, you know, obviously Revolt is like the big mechanic, but like something leaving your side of the battlefield is such a like thing that just happens that it felt like, oh, you're going to use Revolt, which means nothing in every other set after that. So anyway, pretty cool
Interesting
stuff.
card.
I don't know, how many of these cards do we want to save for later, or should we just keep plowing through? What do you think?
Let's
Should we
just keep
go?
going until we don't feel like going.
Okay, perfect. So I think the other card from this that's most important to talk about from Thunder Junction, we could probably save some of the other ones for later, but I mean the ringleader seems like someone who needs to be
Yeah,
talked
we should
about.
probably talk about the ringleader.
Yeah, so Jeff, who is that? Who's this?
This is a legendary planeswalker, Oko.
Mm.
All right, what do we got, Oko? Two green, blue, three loyalty. Has a static. At the beginning of combat on your turn, Oko the ringleader becomes a copy of up to one target creature you control. Except he has hexproof. Nice. Plus one to draw two cards. If you've committed a crime this turn, discard a card. Otherwise, discard two. Minus one. Love this. Create a 3/3 green elk creature token. And minus five. For each other non-land permanent you control, create a token that's a copy of that permanent. Wow.
Very, very
That is the
interesting.
most broken card they have ever made. Just covering my bases.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of people posting things being like, oh, are they just afraid to make a good Oko card or blah, blah, blah. But like,
No,
this
that's not
is.
how you do it with Oko. You say, wow, that's the most broken thing I've ever seen, so that you can be right later
Yeah. Nice job.
when you
You
look
have to get that sound bite in there.
at it.
But no, this seems really interesting. Like it has the same type of like Gideon text where it like turns into a creature, but instead of giving it indestructible, you give it hexproof, which feels much more Oko-like.
This card seems really good to me. It's
Yeah.
just, it doesn't really fit into anything that's going on at the moment.
You play this with
Because
the old
you,
Kellen? I don't know. They
yeah,
just didn't
you
do
could play
anything.
this maybe in like the blue-green artifact aggro thing. Like,
Cookies?
I could see that.
What would you turn him into? Like a, I guess you could.
Like, what's the thing that you upgrade and it becomes like unblockable, and you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, cryptic code?
No,
Or
the it's
you
a
want?
one drop and you level it up.
Oh, right. Yeah, like the whatever that thing from the Brothers War is.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Gingerbrute for a second. I was like, yeah, my four mana
It's not
Gingerbrute.
great to copy Gingerbrute because
No.
you don't get the ETB trigger.
Yeah. Or
But yeah, I guess it's not great in that deck. But if you had like a blue green deck that was interested in like pressuring your opponent, some sort of like, I want to attack you and then also like keep you off balance with counter magic and stuff like that, this could be good there. Like
Totally.
it's a powerful card. It's just, it's not exactly the type of thing
That's
that tends
great
to be
right now.
successful in standard right now.
It'd be nice if it's slowly, like, if they're seeding this with, obviously, Kellen is currently Simic. Oko is also Simic. So them playing well together from the last two sets. I think the next Kellen is probably going to be blue black, because he's has his villain arc. So that makes the most sense.
Zach, the answer is right in front of us. You commit a crime, you plus one, then you copy Duelist of the Mind, and now you have some huge flying vigilance attackers.
Ooh, that's true. Okay, we could play this with Duelist of the Mind. That sounds pretty good. Commit extra crimes. Do
Yeah,
some
the drawing
stuff.
cards pumps up the Duelist. Like we're bashing for like eight in the air if we do that.
Yeah, we just got to figure out what's going to commit crimes. Ultimately, it's going to be like,
Fading hope.
yeah, something like that. Or like March of Swirling Mists or
Oh
whatever.
God, couldn't work.
You can commit so many crimes with that card. So many. But seems cool.
That count
Obviously,
as a separate instance of crime or one crime?
I'm assuming that like it only matters if you've committed a crime so
So
far.
far, so
Yeah,
far. They
yeah.
could have fathomless crime.
Fathomless crime, yeah. Totally. We'll have to find out. But maybe they'll bring it up in Modern Horizons 3, which is another set that's coming out
Wait, hold
to
on. Duelist of the
Arena.
Mind loots every time you commit a crime. So if you were to commit like 10 crimes,
Oh, that's true. That's
you would
true.
loot 10 times.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're
And
right.
then he would be huge.
Actually, no, that's not true. It only triggers once a turn.
Oh, son of a. They thought of everything.
They did. They were like, March of Swirling Mists, Duelist of the Mind, too powerful. Gotta
Yeah.
nerf it.
That actually probably would be really, really
It probably would have been really good.
good.
But no, anyway, Modern Horizons 3 is coming to Arena. It's going to be in
Yes.
June. And it's bringing fetch lands.
Woohoo! They finished the other five fetch lands that aren't in Timeless.
No, they're
Oh.
the same ones we just
This.
got from Concert here.
Oh, so like just new art
Yeah, just new
for
art.
the cards we literally just got.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool too. That's fun.
So not super exciting for Timeless specific or Arena players. Obviously, Modern Horizons 2 had the enemy fetch lands, so this is completing that. So Modern Horizons 3 has the allied ones. We already have them. It is what it is. But I
Feels like a
think
little bit of a slip up on.
it,
Miscommunicado feels
yeah.
like,
Well,
you
it
know.
kind of makes me mad because it's like I spent so much. I mean, I'm happy that I have all my fetch lands on Arena. That's great. But it's
You like
like
some of these arts better,
not just the arts, but it's like, oh, I didn't have to be so ham on it at the beginning. I could
right?
have like waited and then also drafted this set and tried to get those ones and then it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's not a really big deal.
Because the weird part is like with these ones, if you do that,
Then
like
you have
you open prize
mismatching ones.
packs and you could end up with like six Flooded Strands because you like drafted three in cons and then drafted
Yeah.
one here and then you opened one as a
They really have to like
prize.
change that. That's just egregious.
Yeah.
The fact that you can't just be like, I'm gonna trade this art for this art because it's just abysmal. It's so annoying.
And I understand it's like, oh, that we don't want, you know, people got to spend money or whatever. Like, fine, but how many people are actually spending that money? And instead of just being sad that they're playing mismatched arts,
Yeah, or
like,
people do just
that's what I
like,
do. I'm just sad. And I'm like, yep,
yeah.
I have one Thalia from this and one from that. And that's what
Or
I got.
how many people are just leaving Arena because of it? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's really
Yeah.
what you gotta look at. like not just people that are like still playing but kind of sad, it's like people that are like, nope, I won't play this because of that reason.
And
I
it was
think
the
that's
worst when you used to import a deck list and it could have like a card you actually own, but it says you
but
don't
it
own it and need to craft it. Like, that was the worst.
yeah, where it's like, oh, but you just had not even a different art, just a different mana or a different
Yeah, same
set
art.
symbol.
It's
That was annoying.
like Jumpstart versus this card,
Fucking
the set the card was
M19 or
actually
whatever.
in.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Ugh. Anyway, let's not dive too deep on that, but we do have some cool cards coming from Modern Horizons 3. There are some cool reprints. There are some reimagined cards.
Oh.
But there seem to be three or four that are really interesting to me for this.
I have a few like WTFs from this set so
I
far,
mean, one of the WTFs for me that I feel like I know the designer of this card is really excited about it, but it makes me feel like, do we really have to do this? I feel like I liked the other one and you didn't have to just make another version of it that's better,
Okay.
which is Psychic Frog. So Psychic Frog is the new Psychotog. So Atogs used to be a part of Magic. They were something that they made up. They're not part of Magic anymore. I don't know why. This is a new card called Psychic Frog. It is blue, black. So sorry, it's a single blue pip and a single black pip. So 2 mana for a 1/2 creature frog. And when it deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, you draw a card. You can discard a card to put a +1/+1 counter on it, and you can exile 3 cards from your graveyard to give it flying until end of turn. So this is just Psychotog, but like pumped up and better. But Psychotog was a really important, great card during Standard of the time back in like Odyssey. And I thought Psychotog was super cool as a kid, and I really liked it. And this, I'm sure there are a lot of people that see this card and think like, oh, that's super awesome. Like they're calling back this card and you have to update it and all this stuff. And I know that's what WotC's doing, but it kind of makes me feel a little sad. It seems like it's like they're playing with a dead body almost, you know? They're like putting sunglasses on Psychotog and like moving his arms as if he's still alive. That's what it kind of feels
This is
like.
Weekend at Psychotogs.
Yeah, just like it just
Yeah, like I never, so a Psychotog for me was a card I didn't understand as a kid, and I was told it was good and I didn't know why. And so like I have a bit of nostalgia for it, but not a ton because I never really played with or against the card. It was just one of
I
those.
tried to play it. I tried to build a
Yeah.
deck and I didn't understand it, but I thought it
Right.
was really cool. I was like, oh, you discard cards and then you exile them and then you
Yeah.
get pumped up higher.
It's like, oh, I get it. But
That's
like
cool.
I ran out of cards though.
Yeah. And they're not dead yet.
It's the crazy thing to me is how much better this card is than Psychotog. So if you don't know Psychotog, basically think about what Zach just said. Add an extra mana to it, remove the curiosity ability, and then instead of flying, it's just a also +1/+1. And I think maybe it was exile two cards
It
instead of
was
three,
two
but
cards, yeah. So discard a card, it gets +1/+1
so
until end of turn.
yeah.
Exile
This
two cards from the graveyard, it gets
oh my
+1/+1.
God, it's a +1/+1 counter on this card.
Yes, it's a counter.
Okay. Whoa. This is like every single piece of Psychotog has been massively upgraded, and then they just stapled something on and made it cheaper. But like I get it, that's what you have to do to see play in modern or whatever, but it's yeah, it makes me sad how far they had to go to make us a playable Psychotog in their eyes.
I know. Now, looking at it, I'm like, would I play this card? I would want to.
Yeah, I'm gonna play
But it
it.
makes me sad. It does make me sad. So I thought I would just point that out really quickly. And that I wish they brought Atogs back. That is something that,
Right. Yeah,
you
maybe
know.
that's the saddest part is that this is a frog because it sounds like a tog.
So and Atogs already kind of look like frogs,
Yeah.
but
I mean, it's definitely just like they don't want Magic to have their own like
IP.
things that are not canon for or like
No, that's not true.
traditional.
That's not true. They really want Magic to have Eldrazi
Oh, of course.
because that is
Yes.
something that's coming with Modern Horizons 3. We do have a new giant Eldrazi Titan.
Okay, so that's a great segue to my WTF, because like, what the fuck is this card? So Emrakul, the World Anew, 12 mana for an Eldrazi legendary creature, 12/12. When you cast this spell, gain control of all creatures target player controls. Okay. Flying, protection from spells and from permanents that were cast this turn. Okay. When Emrakul, the World Anew, leaves the battlefield, I know what you're thinking. Return all the creatures you stole. Nay, nay. Sacrifice all creatures you control. And here's what really pisses me off. Madness for six.
Six colorless,
Colorless. Yeah.
so it has to be colorless.
Yeah.
So at least there's that weird caveat. But
What is this? You t like they can you can turbo this out, and like best case scenario for your opponent is it's a one-sided board wipe. I'm
I
not even sure how you make that happen because it has protection from all these things. So
That
like,
were cast this turn.
this seems stupid.
Like, you
This
can't.
seems like stupidly good.
Yeah, protection from spells and from permanents that were cast this turn. So you can't cast. You can't kill it with any instant or a spell.
No, like nothing. You have to wait and untap and then kill it. But because it's madness, and madness counts as casting it, like they're gonna cast this on your turn.
Okay, so they're saying that it has protections from spells and permanents that were cast the turn it was played. Not just the this turn, like every not, so
Like
it's
this turn. Yeah.
just but just the turn it's played, right? It doesn't see like every spell that's ever cast is cast on this turn that's happening right now.
No, not the turn it's played. Like, wait, hold on. How would this work?
That's what
It
I'm asking. Is
thing that it has protection from spells
Yeah.
and permanents that were cast this turn.
Okay. That's what I thought.
So
Okay.
permanents that were cast last turn.
Can then block it. So that's what I was thinking. This is fucking busted. You can't murder this. You can't, because
No.
it's one up from instance, right? You're just like, not only can it like it can't be touched by instance, but any spells.
So it's like it's got to be like a planeswalker that has been around for a turn.
Can then kill it, but what besides, like, I don't know, what can kill this? What planeswalker can kill this? I don't know. There's some Vraskas that can kill it.
But like you're gonna flash this in with madness and it's gonna have protection from your attackers and stuff. Like I guess your attackers won't have been cast this turn. So that's
Then
not correct, but
that's
it's still a
okay.
12/12.
Yeah, with
The
flying.
12/12 that you probably can't interact with at
No,
all.
but it doesn't matter because you gain control of all the creatures.
Oh yeah. You don't
But
need
do
to
they are they
ambush people in combat. Never
you just do it
mind.
before combat?
Yeah, you just do it whenever the hell you want
Yeah.
because
I will say someone on Twitter was talking about how is like is the correct way to play this card to madness it out and with the spell on the stack counter it so you just gain control of your opponent's creatures and you never have to sacrifice them? So that you just cast it. Counter your own spell so that it never lands,
yeah, you counter this.
and then you just keep their creatures forever, and you never have to sacrifice them. It's a lot of
Oh,
mana.
because this is. Well, think about the other way. This is essentially uncounterable. Because if you counter it, they steal all
Yeah.
your creatures for good.
That's also true. So, like, you know what? This card looks really good with Psychic Frog because you can discard it really easy.
Hey, Madness Outlet. Although it's hard to have like six
Six
colorless
colorless
and blue
and
black.
yeah, and blue black, but
You gotta play a lot of Underground Rivers.
yeah, play Painlands. Yeah, that's fine. Jeez, I don't know, man. It seems.
This card seems dumb. It's possible like nobody ever plays this, I guess, but I don't think that's going to be true.
It, I think it's going to be around and timeless, and it's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
Ugh, stupid shit. Hey, creatures, you can't be on the board anymore. I do want to talk about a creature that is not always a creature. Modern Horizons 3 is bringing back something interesting for us. So we have an Ajani creature, which is
Was my
really,
other one
really
of my
nice.
other WTFs. So when I first saw this, before you get into it, I was just reading it on Reddit. I didn't see the card because I was on my phone and sometimes I like to just read the text and like I'll go look at the art and stuff later. And whoever had posted it labeled it as Bloomburrow, not as Modern Horizons 3. So when I was reading this card, my understanding was this was a standard card. So go ahead and read
Okay, well, if I thought this was a standard card, I'd feel
it.
much differently, but
Yeah.
it's not. It's a modern card. So this is Ajani, Nakatl Pariah, one and a white for a 1/2 legendary creature cat warrior at mythic. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 2/1 white cat warrior creature token, and then whenever one or more other cats you control die, you exile it and transform it under its owner's control. That's a really easy way to flip a card. That is
Insanely easy.
insanely easy.
And it's 3 power and toughness for two
For two
mana split
mana.
across 2 bodies.
And you just get a Savannah Lions for free that is easy, like it just dies all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing Savannah Deadlines does
Yeah,
best.
is
Get in for
die
two and
and
die.
die. Yeah, exactly. So it flips over to a Planeswalker, which is Ajani Nakatl Avenger, which is a 3-mana Planeswalker that is both white and green. Wait, sorry, what? Green, white and
It's
red.
actually, yeah, red. Yep.
The beers are getting to me. I was about to say red, and then I said green. I don't know why. It
So
is
different colors. If
different
you need,
colors.
like, I can loop you
I
into my son's training sessions where
know.
we talk through.
I really got to work on the colors,
He's
man.
pretty much mastered actually red versus green, but
It's
so you'll be a little remedial,
super
but
embarrassing because I went to art school, so like I can't.
yeah.
It is white and red. It's a planeswalker. Jeff, read the planeswalker. I can't read
Okay,
anymore.
three loyalty, +2, put a +1/+1 counter on each cat you control. 0, create a 2/1 white cat warrior creature token. When you do, if you control a red permanent other than a Ajani, he deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control to any target. It's a hell of a 0. -4, each opponent chooses an artifact, creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among the non-land permanents they control and sacrifices the rest. I had to read lists like 4 times to be like, what? And then I scrolled down into the comments. They're like, this is not in Bloomburrow. It's in Modern Horizons 3. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought like shit
Because
was about to go crazy. I was like, the 3-year standard was such a disaster, but they're like, the power creep is just
they're
done.
pumping it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zero
For
created.
modern, yeah, I don't know, that seems good, I guess.
I don't really know modern very well, but still, like, zero created a token, and then you can also probably kill something.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Though, to be fair, if you're creating creatures and your opponent just steals them with an Emrakul, whatever. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Think the most interesting part of this for me, for like thinking timeless, is that they've said that this is a cycle. So I'm curious what the other ones are.
Yes. So, and it's bringing back the Planeswalkers after, like, before they got their spark. This is something from Magic Origins. You've probably seen that. And that was a long time ago. I had just gotten back into Magic when those came
I
out.
love
So.
those cards too. So I do love to see this, like them revisiting that with other
Yeah.
characters.
I think we'll also see Tamio. We know that Tamio is in the set. So we'll see that because, of course, Modern Horizons 3 has nothing to do with the timeline we are currently in.
And I wonder like what it means cycle, right? Like so Tamio could be a blue creature that becomes a blue green
Yeah,
Planeswalker on the
Planeswalker.
back. And like, do they all care about the secondary color in some way, like on the
That's true.
backside?
Oh, that'd be really cool. I like that. Could be really interesting. I did want to mention my biggest gripe with Modern Horizons 3, and a lot of people have this gripe as well. And I'm really not in either of these camps, but I did think that it was worth mentioning is that, as we get sets, things come out. There's different types of boosters, there's different type of decks, there's starter decks, commander decks come out with a bunch of different sets. But a set called Modern Horizons that is specifically made to be modern legal, and they come out with four commander decks called Modern Horizons, but the cards in the commander decks are not legal in modern. I think that's fucked up.
Yeah,
That is really, really stupid, and I really don't like that.
it's just confusing for like new
Everyone.
players to like imagine buying this because you want to play modern or something, which is definitely going to happen to some people.
And these are not decks for modern. They're decks for commander. And they could have made four modern pre-constructed decks like they do with the challenger decks. And I would be ecstatic because I'm a player who can't play modern because I'm kind of priced out of it. And that would be a product that could be interesting to me. So,
Just
anyway.
trying to like have their hand in the cookie jar for all from all angles, kind of thing.
The other thing is like, Commander players are going to be interested in Modern Horizons no matter what. Like, you don't need to make a specific product for them. They're going to buy it. But of course, these ones have to have a collector's edition version of the Commander deck. So, I'm sorry. Those will be. That's my own frustrations. I'm sure that I know there's other people who are frustrated with this too, who are specifically Modern players. But like, when Pioneer Masters comes out and there's a Commander deck for it, I'll just be. Okay, I don't. Also, I know a bunch of commander players who are just tired of commander decks all the time. But anyway, sorry, I'm mad and I don't know what green and red is. let's quickly talk about Bloom
Not
Burrow.
as easy as it sounds, guys.
It's really confusing. So. We don't have as nearly as much stuff with Bloom Burrow, which is our red wall themed set. This is all like
Love it.
creatures that are like there are no humanoid creatures on Bloom Burrow.
Well,
They're
they're all
all
humanoid, like
oh sorry, you're right.
anthropomorphized.
Anthropomorphic. Yes. Sorry. But let me step back as I don't know what this is either. There are no humans on Bloom Burrow. There are a bunch of animals that are humanoid like, yes, they stand on their hind legs and they can do stuff with their hands and whatever. I do want to say of the cards seem all right or whatever. The only thing that really makes me super excited about this is that there is artwork for these things, and there's a specific artwork that just is really interesting to me and a lot of people, I'm sure. Jeff, I'm sure you've seen the big piece that is a character we know, but they are an animal now. So we have, as I believe will be in the set. I don't know if it's going to be a special thing. They showed another one that seemed to be like not actually part of the set, but something that's like funny. But Ral Zarek will be on Bloomburrow as an otter.
Yes.
Picture of Ral Zarek doing lightning stuff as an otter. So, like, when you walk over through your omen path to Bloomburrow, do you just turn into an animal? Is that what happens? Because
I guess so.
I guess so. Also, extra points to WotC because everyone has been obviously making the point that is hilarious that Ral Zarek, of all people, is an otter, which is funny because. He's part of the LGBTQ community, and otters are a type of gay man, akin to bears and things. Similar to like the whole ideology of like cougars and cubs and all that kind of stuff, which I do think is funny and is a nice play. And I think it's been received well by the community.
Oh,
So,
nice. I was
yeah.
wondering which way that was going to go.
Yes.
I saw Foxy Jace first.
Okay.
And I was like, I was like, is Jace trying to fit in and like making himself look
Right.
like a fox? And then I saw Ral Zarek and I was like, oh, okay, no. So it's got to be like, yeah, it's probably closer to what you're saying that just like
You
when
walk over
you
and
cross through this omen path, you're some sort of animal that
yeah,
it's
it's just like furry world.
that is determined, yeah, furry world. It's determined by your sexuality in some way.
Yeah, I guess. Or like you're just, we're waiting for the Liliana cat and all that kind of stuff. Like Chandra lizard? I don't know. Dragon thing? I'm not
And
sure.
is Ral still a planeswalker or he's not?
Well, I don't think we know. I think,
Yeah.
oh no, he is. In the story, he was a planeswalker
Oh, that's
still.
right. Yeah, they
Yeah.
mentioned that, right?
That people still didn't really trust him because he's a planeswalker. So there is that kind of weirdness to it. I don't really know. So I think so the Jace one, I'm pretty sure is just like a set of if these characters did go to Bloomburrow, this is what they'd look like. And I think Ral Zarek is part of he on the story, he actually is here, which is really confusing. Sorry, excuse me. It's really confusing. I don't know. We are that's a little bit further away from where we are right now, obviously. The fact that we're getting any sort of artwork or anything for it seems kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's just that's the thing I found most exciting. Besides, like obviously it's gonna be really cool, and I really liked Redwall when I was a kid, and we've talked about this before, but
Yeah.
will be pretty a sweet set. I think I know a lot of people who are kind of skipping over the Yeehaw set, as they call it, the Outlaws of the Land Direction, and going straight to Bloomburrow. But I think I'm still most stoked for Thunder
I mean,
Junction.
they did hit that a little hard with the so far it's just like legendary characters with cowboy hats and the set symbol is a cowboy hat.
Yeah,
And
and we
like
just had a set that had a bunch of fedoras, and it's like, what's the
yeah.
new funny hat gonna be?
Yeah. At least
Wait.
it's not like, all these creatures aren't just randomly outlaws or whatever, like
That's true. But yeah, just wait until we go to like, there will be a magic plane where everyone is like a close-up magician and they have those stupid wizard hats, even
oh
though it
yeah,
is magic.
it's already magic.
Or top hats or different things. Yeah, it's just that I feel like that crossover is going to happen at some point where it's like our characters do real magic and their characters do illusions, or not even illusions, just like because Jace does illusions that are real illusions,
Yeah.
but just tricks, I guess.
Yeah. Hard tricks.
Card tricks. Which I've also said, why don't we have any sort of like close-up magic magicians doing that with magic cards? Why is that not a thing?
That's what everyone
Like,
thinks I do when I say I play magic
that's
cards.
true. But like, oh, is this your card? And it's Jace the Mind Sculptor. And then they shuffle it in and then like go through the cards and find it. I think I know the answer, which is essentially like you can't have a magic player doing close-up magic and then shuffle their deck.
Just riffle shuffle with their Jace the Mind Sculptor.
No, not even just real. I meant more so like if you play a tournament against, like you're playing against the guy who does close up magic with the deck, and you're like, I'm
This guy's
pretty sure,
definitely cheating.
yeah, he fucking cheated. Like he stacked his deck so hard. But it, like, anyway, I think that's probably why. All right, Jeff, I think that's everything. I think that's what happened this
Yeah, it's
weekend.
a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Do you have any last words before we go to last call?
No, like upcoming stuff looks cool. It's hard for me to think too far beyond Outlaws, so
I agree.
still waiting for, the Outlaws previews that really send it home for me. There's always that one preview card you see where you're like, okay, I'm
This is
in.
sick. I'm in.
Yeah. And it's a
You
lot of
son of
like
a.
blue cards they've been showing, so
Yeah.
and the black card they showed I was disappointed with, so
Oh, don't say that.
yeah, it just doesn't seem very good to me, but
It's a one mana, 1/1 with Death Touch. What else do you want?
yeah, we have lots of those at
I
common.
know. It commits a crime. It does.
Does it though?
It does.
If it deals combat damage to a player.
Do you target, right?
If it deals combat damage to a player, it commits a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just said it committed a crime. All right, well, we talked about it, so we have to let's at least just mention what it is.
Right, so Tiny Bones, pickpocket, 1/1 death touch for one. It's a legendary creature, skeleton rogue. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent card from that player's graveyard, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell.
He's running on a keyboard or
I
a
like Tiny
piano.
Bones and I like the art. I don't like the card. Don't think I'm ever going to play this.
Yeah, it does the cut down.
Yeah. Dies a cut down equals garbage.
Garbage.
It can slot right into my Tiny Bones Brawl deck that I've never played.
This card goes straight into the skeleton deck that we're talking about.
We
We needed a one drop for the skeleton deck.
can find better skeletons, right? Does anything have two power?
I think
That'd
there's
be
one.
nice.
Yeah. But this one has Death Touch. And you get to play stuff off of the things. It's a 1/1 Death Touch just wants to attack.
If
You
it
never.
survives till like really late in the game, it starts casting stuff.
You could cast a
What's going to be in their graveyard that I have mana
Duress.
to cast?
Right? Is it permanent? Non-land permanent. Never mind. You
Yeah,
can't cast
nothing.
Duress.
It's
You can cast their Tiny Bones.
not even going to commit a crime because you can't target anything because nothing will be in the graveyard.
Maybe you might be able to commit a crime with it. He's just a little guy. Come on.
This card, I was so excited to see Cowboy Tiny Bones, and then I read the card and I'm no longer excited.
I'm still working on that skeleton deck, so this goes right
Yeah.
into it. Mono black skeletons. I think once this comes out, then we'll put it together.
Yeah. If by goes into it, you mean it's a skeleton and we'll take whatever we can get because we don't have any other fucking skeletons to put in
It's
the
true. Yes, that's
deck.
exactly what I mean, Jeff. You know what I mean. Oh, anyway, Jeff, let's go to last call. Let's talk about the beer that we were drinking tonight.
Yeah.
As always, we rate our skills our what? We rate our beers on a
We have to
scale.
rate the scale now? Oh man, I wasn't prepared for this.
We rate our beers on a scale from bronze to mythic, just like the tiers in Arena. As always, this has nothing to do with what tier you are in currently, because we love all the tiers and we love all of you. So don't feel bad when we say the bronze beers are trash. They're horrible. You have to spit them out, you have to pour them on the ground.
Yeah, silver beers are bad or boring. So, Budweiser, boring.
But the king of beers. Gold beers are fine, but you won't really drink them again.
Platinum beers are good and you would drink it again.
Diamond beers are exceptional, and you will recommend these to your friends.
And mythic, these are the best of the best. These are whatever the opposite of the new Tiny Bones is. Like, that's what mythic is. If you think, look at the beer and you're like, you know what? This tastes the opposite of
Of
how
Tiny Bones.
good Tiny Bones with a hat is, then you're probably in this category.
Tiny Bones with a hat. Ugh. That's what you. It's just such a disgrace that that's what you're calling him. Obviously, he's Tiny Bones, the pickpocket. The pickpocket. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, I meant Tiny Bones with a cowboy hat. I didn't mean
Yeah,
to
there you
sell
go.
him short. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. What do you think about Paper Salesman, the John Krasinski of beers?
I like to think of it more like the, I don't know, the actor who played Dwight Schrute of beers.
Rainn Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, sure. It does look very Rainn Wilson-esque. Or sorry, Dwight Schrute. Rainn Wilson's much different than Dwight, but okay.
You say so. I literally only know him from that show.
Nice. All right. So this guy, what does that mean then? What are you reading this?
That meant basically nothing. I just wanted to disagree with you. I think the show
It's
is
normal.
excellent and the beer is pretty good. Yeah, I liked it. It's like a pale ale and it delivered on that. You can tell that oh, there we go. Right on the back, contains barley and oats. I was going to say you can tell that oats are used in the grain bill because it kept its head for like quite a long time. That's what oats does. Good for head retention. And I like oats in my ales. So yeah, this is solid. Dominion City's been like hit or miss for me being from back home. I think I was there when they like first started and some of their stuff was not very good.
Oh, really?
But I think they're really starting to turn it around because the past few things I've had from them have been like, this is good. Isn't that like, it's hard for something that's just a pale ale to push its way into like mythic or,
Mythic,
these really high categories. It's not anything that blew my mind, but I liked it. It's good. I like the kind of liked everything about it, to be honest. It's just the way I would make a pale ale if I was from here.
I definitely agree. It felt very smooth. It had good body. Oats are also part of that. And yeah, it was really tasty. I literally like nowadays we do like a backup beer and I had an IPA right after, and I was kind of upset that I just didn't have another one of these. Because I just like that. I just want to keep drinking the same one. I don't drink it
I would
so.
stock my fridge with this for sure.
But that gives it like a solid platinum, I think. It's really solid. I would like, if this was in my fridge and I could give it to a friend, I'd be like, yeah, you can have it. But I'm not going to go out of my way or like be in a store and tell people to pick it up, probably. But like, I definitely grab a few more of these. Maybe it could creep its way up if I started drinking it a lot more.
Yeah, it could be diamond. I don't know. I'm gonna give it platinum right now, and I'll go to Ottawa like later this month. Well, not this month, next month technically.
Yeah,
But
sure.
yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll pick up more of these. Maybe I'll totally forget.
Exactly.
Hint, it's gonna be the second.
Yeah. But no. I did like it. It's a nice, solid beer.
Good pale ale.
Yeah, good pale ale. Oh, with that, we have closing time. As always, you can reach us at Arena Regulars on Twitter and Instagram.
May also find us on Arena itself under the username Arena Regulars Podcast.
If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Zulberg, that is Zulberg on Twitter and Instagram. And also on Twitch, I stream Monday to Wednesday. My username is regular underscore Zach. But Jeff, where can they find you?
Best place is on our Discord channel. I'll be regular Jeff on the Discord channel, and the link for that should be down below in the show notes.
That's right. Also, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify. Leave us a review there as well. But most importantly, just tell your friends about the show. If you like us, give us a little review to your folks or your friends. And yeah,
Yeah. If
just
you
the
hate us, never mention it to anyone.
yeah. Don't ever talk about us if you hate us. But if you like us, tell everybody. This has been the Arena Regulars.
Reminding you that I picked Vayne Ripper. Check the tape. I said it was worth a slot and it wins the Pro Tour. Just
I
thought it was worth
know.
mentioning.
Yeah, I know. But good night. All right, that's fine.